The Toy and Action Figure Podcast on itfigurespodcast.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Stina.
And I'm Killer.
And we're It Figures. What is going on, everybody?
Do not be distracted by the immense production value.
The what?
All the amazing green screen technology behind us.
Because we are not actually here. We are just in front of a green screen. This is our digital set.
We're in the bathroom of Taco Bell.
why do I have a taco in front of me then?
Well, you ate it.
Yeah. And we told you you can't have any more until we're done recording.
But I want a taco.
We don't need you munching. And
how about a quesadilla instead?
No.
It's very unprofessional if you're eating while on camera.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But it's totally professional to shoot in the bathroom of Taco Bell.
Yes, the door is locked, so nobody will be coming in.
And nobody will be banging on the door having to need the bathroom.
We have Pedro. He is watching the front door.
We have security.
It's not a racist thing. It just so happens his name was Pedro.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen a Pedro working at a Taco Bell before.
Because Taco Bell's not Mexican.
We're in Southern California.
So oh, we are?
It's very likely. That
interesting.
It's a true story.
I like how we came to Southern California and then set up shop in a Taco Bell bathroom for this recording.
Why wouldn't we be on a beach?
We ran out of money. This is where we're going to shoot, and if all goes well, we'll get some nice ad rev, and we'll be back somewhere else next week.
Can I choose where we are next week?
Well, we'll see. We'll slap the change on the counter and see where it gets us. We'll probably be in just slightly a couple miles north of Southern California next week.
We'll be in Anaheim.
How far we can hitch a ride.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, welcome to episode 137 of the It Figures podcast. If you guys are just joining us for the first time, this is a weekly podcast dedicated to the discussion of the latest toy news and some general chit-chat about toys and all kinds of other weird stuff, because we just like to hang out and have a good time. We also answer your forum questions every week, so if you guys have something you want to talk to us about, then you need to head on over to PopCultureNetwork.com and ask us some questions. You can find us right there on the front page of PopCultureNetwork.com every Wednesday, where you can listen to the audio version, which is also streaming through iTunes, if you'd like to find it that way. Or, if you'd prefer to watch us here on video so you can see how ugly we are, you can find us, except for her, of course, she's beautiful.
Emmy.
Okay, so I'm the ugly one.
He glows.
I'm the ugly one. But you can find us. The video is also there on the front page of Pop Culture Network. Or you can follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/popculturenetwork. If you do it that way, make sure you help us out by hitting the subscribe button. Alright, so why don't we go ahead and just dive right into some of the weekly toy news. Got a few things to talk about this week. First up, we've known this is coming for a while, but Hot Toys just recently released some new images of the 1/6 scale 1989 Michael Keaton Batman. Have you looked at these pictures at all?
No.
No?
It said Hot Toys, and I said, can't afford it.
Can't afford it. No joke. That is no joke. These are super expensive.
They look really good.
That looks perfect.
Awesome figure.
That looks perfect.
Awesome figure, yeah.
That looks like a movie poster.
Yeah. Michael Keaton's my favorite movie Batman still. I love the 89 movie, and I probably won't be buying this just because Hot Toys stuff is so expensive, but I think if I was going to invest in one Hot Toys figure, this is probably one that I would.
How expensive?
I don't...
Superman was $210.
$200? Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they're very expensive. Now, they are extremely detailed. They have great, like, the costumes are very detailed. They have come with lots of accessories. One thing that's neat about this Batman is he comes with this little bat logo thing in the package where if you shine a light through it, it does the bat signal. So it's just kind of like one of those neat little extra things that they're throwing in there. And it's cool because he's got, like, the interchangeable wings, so you can make him have, like, the actual, like, wing cape, or he's got, like, the standard cape, too.
Yeah.
He does look like... It doesn't even look like a toy. It looks like it's a shot from the movie.
It's the likeness is ridiculous, dude. I mean, it's like... You know, he's behind a mask, but that totally looks like Keaton's face. You know,
that looks like a person.
That's ridiculous.
That's his chin. That's why. Because it's his chin.
Keaton's got those lips. You know. Yeah.
You won't kiss.
Is there something you want to tell me here?
I love Michael Keaton. Batman, Michael Keaton.
I don't know, man. He looks like
he's even got that.
Do some damage.
He's even got that movie Bat logo with the weird little feet things going on in the logo. Which was always weird, I thought, because that's not how the logo looked on the poster, but that's how the logo looked on Batman's costume in that first movie.
I don't think I ever noticed that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because see, that's what the logo looked like on the poster, but that's the way it looked on his costume in the movie. Hmm. In the first movie, at least.
Maybe he's carrying something, and that's why it looks like that.
We'll just blame Batman Forever for that. Somehow it's his fault.
It's gotta be his fault somehow. This is a different head, too.
It is weird.
You like those lips, too, with the little mouth open?
Yeah. Yeah, mouth slightly open. He's like, hey, hey. Oh, look at that bloody face.
Oh.
Just got done fighting with Joker.
Why are you trying to kill me?
You're trying to kill me. It's different Batman.
It's still Batman.
It is still Batman.
If we're following the story, it's still right.
Why are you trying to kill me?
That one looks the best.
If Michael Keaton had done that, that would have been a better Batman for me.
You want him to...
I want my Batman to make no sense.
You want him to do the
crazy.
The Christian Bale voice?
Oh, yeah. I want him to be just crazy.
I hate the Christian Bale voice. I only like it because it's fun to make fun of. But.
Well, I want him... As soon as he takes it off and he's Bruce Wayne, I want him to talk, like, totally articulate. But if he puts the mask on, I want him to be like... That's my Batman. Well, trying to disguise his voice. He just want to be caught, you know? You can clearly know that's Bruce Wayne if he talks normal.
That's true, obviously. That's why Bale does it that way. Duh. Mm-hmm. Jeez. All right, so we'll move right along to some Hot Toys news. I'm sorry, we just got done with the Hot Toys news. Moving on to the Mezco news for the week. Mezco has released images for Living Dead Doll Series 23. Yes, we are on Series 23 of these now. They are still going strong. So Series 23 introduces Teddy, Quack, Agatha, Genocide, and Betsy. They are, like,
they're fighting each with tea party.
Yeah, they're having a tea party. Oh, see, they got little broken teacups and a scary skull tea kettle.
And apparently one of them is a furry. They're totally into the
This one is, too. Wearing. This one's a penguin. Yeah, there's a teddy bear.
This one's missing an eye.
My, what a lovely tea party.
My, what a lovely... And they're having... their table's a casket, by the way.
Yeah. So do you think what's in their cup is blood?
Well, of course. Why not? Why wouldn't it be?
Probably. Sure.
Sure, why not?
You want your little girl to play with us?
Yeah, she would actually love them.
Would she really?
She likes spooky, weird stuff. So...
She likes spooky, weird stuff.
Too bad those things cost too much money.
They are expensive. But they do have a pretty big collector's base. So if you guys want more information on that, just check out MezcoToysWithAZ.com. They have the listings there for you and find out how much they're going to be and when they're going to ship. Now here's something a little more exciting from Mezco that I'm anxious about. We actually saw this at San Diego this past year. So this is the first time they've actually sent out a press release since showing off the prototype. But this is the 6-inch Earthworm Jim action figure, which is very cool looking. Hmm. Looks like he is in the 6-inch scale, features 8 points of articulation, comes complete with his plasma blaster and alternate bendy unsuited Earthworm Jim worm body. Hmm. So that is supposed to be shipping in July 2012. So middle of the summer is when he's supposed to be available.
Was that supposed to be a line or just the one figure?
Probably just the one figure. They kind of do that with their stuff. I don't know. Like with the Little Big Planet stuff, they did like a whole line, but it was still just a bunch of Sackboys and different costumes, but I think right now it's just Jim. It'd be kind of neat to see some other characters, like Princess What's-Her-Face.
Princess What's-Her-Face.
That's her name. Or What's-Her-Name. Princess What's-Her-Name. That's her. That's it. And, what was the bad guy's name?
I don't remember any other names other than I played the crap out of that game.
Yeah. The figure looks awesome. I'm anxious to get it and kind of, like, compare it with the old Playmates Earthworm Jim figure that I have. Because I always liked the old Playmates line. But this one's cool because it's, like, super articulated and it'll be neat. It doesn't have action features like the old figures do. So, sign me up. I'll be buying them.
Retail, $4.99.
I will buy more than one if that's the case.
You might want to triple that price.
Nope. If I say it, they got to change the price. Nope.
Can you do that for a whole bunch of other things that I want to buy?
I could, but I don't want to.
But he doesn't want to.
Not even for me?
Just keep playing your cards right and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
All right. So, here we go. Following up on some news from last week from Mattel, we had talked about the whole schedule situation, how things got rearranged, how crazy that whole thing is. And we did kind of talk about how it sucks, you know, with the Star Sisters getting moved to January, how that's going to affect some people's budgets, because we weren't really expecting to pay for the Star Sisters. And I know there's been a lot of people who have kind of been, oh, we don't really even want the Star Sisters. And case in point, you guys can go watch TFG1 Mike's response to my Star Sisters review on YouTube, and you can watch him rant about the Star Sisters if you want to, from Geekcast Radio. But what Mattel put out this week, they had a press release go out that basically says, and this is kind of their way of trying to, like, help people a little bit. Yes, they screwed things up, so there's no excuse for any of their screw-ups as far as the schedule go. But I think what they're trying to do here does help a little bit. Basically what they're saying is that since they understand that people weren't really expecting to have to shell out $60 in January, what they're going to do is, you know, it's funny because the press release says January 13th and it's just now starting to happen this week. But they're going to start charging, for the Star Sisters, but at first they're only going to take $20 plus the shipping fees up front. So like the cost of a normal figure for the month. And then there's going to be a second installment billed to you somewhere around January 20th for the rest of the amount, the other $40. So they're basically kind of billing Star Sisters in two installments to try to give people about a week to make sure they've got the full $60 on their accounts. Now, obviously, that's not a perfect solution by any means. And obviously, they still caused all kinds of problems by mixing up the schedules and rearranging things. But, I mean, I do think at least Mattel did something. At least they tried something.
Yeah, if Mattel was handling the order processing, I'd be like, okay, good. But because it's Digital River, this is two times they could screw you.
That's true. That is absolutely true. That brings up a completely new chance, a new opportunity for Digital River to mess up your money.
I mean, because just go to Manny Collector's Facebook and just read the comments.
Oh, my God.
There is horrific things happening.
Yeah.
And this, for sure... At least several people are going to be completely screwed on this.
Somewhere. It blows my mind how terrible Digital
River
is.
Like, I don't understand how it's even that complicated.
I don't either. I have no idea. No idea. I really hope this stuff works itself out. The good news is that there's a pretty good batch of figures in the next few months here, but...
But they're all at once.
I would
rather they do one charge because I know that's just one time they can screw me. With two, there's definitely a increased chance of... them either charging me and dropping a charge and then reappearing a charge. And, you know, they just can't charge you and you'd be done with it. They got to, like, here's your money, give it back. Here's your money, give it back.
No kidding, right?
Where'd your money go?
A stupid hold.
Like, no, you have it.
Yeah. Where'd your money go? Ta-da!
It's a magic show.
It's magic! Yeah, I know. That's a totally different point to bring up. You're totally right. Like, that's a goodwill thing. That's good faith on Mattel's part, but on Digital River's part, it's another opportunity to screw things up.
Yeah, so. Like, I see Mattel's totally doing a good thing, but it cannot be done by Digital River. This is like them going, they want us to do what? Oh, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
I gotta push two buttons, and that's like... too much work.
Two buttons, way too much work.
I'm just going to have to charge another $6 shipping for that.
Like, no.
Oh, great, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to see when, like, that's what I totally expect to happen. Like, we get charged the shipping with the $20, mm-hmm. and then when they bill us the $40, they'll just charge us for shipping again.
Or a processing fee.
Yeah.
Something.
Like, great, awesome. So now we've paid double the price for shipping on one item that's already, you know, out.
Awesome. If they don't have a class action lawsuit against Digital River, something's wrong with us. Just saying. I'm sure we're all owed money
somewhere. Yeah, somewhere. I still don't have Demo Man and Battleground Evil in from December. I haven't received a shipping notice yet. Nope. Now, people are starting to receive their notices this week. It seems like they're starting to trickle in. And I guess Digital River is telling folks that it's supposed to be happening by the end of this week. So, we'll see.
I got a shipping notice, and I didn't even buy nothing.
Yeah, the Star Sisters?
No, I don't know. It says your subscription has shipped.
That'd be the Star Sisters.
And I was like, my card was never updated, so how did I... Is something shipping? I don't get it.
I still don't have a shipping notice for Star Sisters. They haven't charged me for them yet either, so...
So I'm thinking somehow I'm getting free something, and I can't wait.
I know Scotty told me on Friday that he got charged for the Star Sisters, and here it is Tuesday... And I still don't have a charge for it. So, it's really weird
how, three
of us are in the same city.
Well, don't they already have your money?
No. Not for the Star Sisters. Also, we found out that they don't have our money for the...
December.
The demo.
That was November.
Yeah, the Demo Man. We misread the bank statements. So, apparently, they did do the thing where they took it and then they put it back. Because we got the money back. So, they haven't charged me for Demo Man and Battleground Evil End, and I haven't gotten a shipping notice. And they haven't charged me for the Star Sisters, and I don't have a shipping notice. But Scotty's been charged for them and got his notice. You haven't been charged but got a notice. So we're all three in the same city, and we have completely different scenarios going on.
So it's going to be random.
Yeah.
So go ahead and put your bet on who you think is going to get theirs first.
Yeah. and how will be charged.
Yep. Go ahead in your comments below, leave the situation as you think it will be. And the winner will receive a thumbs up.
You might even get two.
It's anybody's game. It's Digital River. I mean, Christina might get something, you know?
That'd be crazy.
It comes in my
Christina
name.
Christina Erdley. No, they use her maiden name. I'm like, what? What is this?
You go to your old address where you lived when you were a child.
Yeah.
Your mom's like, we got something from you.
You open it up and it's like a figure that's on the schedule for next year that hasn't even been announced yet. And you're just like, how does this even happen?
That would be awesome. I want a figure no one else has.
Mighty Spector 2. Huh. What? There's two of these now?
I didn't even think of that.
There's another Spector?
There's this time-space continuum thing going on here.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. He just traveled time.
Yeah.
He's a time traveler. All right, enough of that Mattel stuff. Let's move on to the amazing Steve Jobs action figure. I don't remember, did we actually talk about this a couple weeks ago?
No.
Nothing I remember.
No.
I think I meant to talk about it, and we must have forgotten.
I don't remember that creepy thing.
All right, so here's what's going on. Creepy. It is really creepy.
It almost looks perfect.
So this company named InIcons, which I had never heard of before this, started releasing images of a 12-inch action figure that they're producing based on Steve Jobs, the former CEO of Apple, who just recently passed away. And this action figure is like... really good looking, because it's a ridiculous likeness to Steve Jobs. Like, the head sculpt is, like, really spot on. And he's, like, really articulated, and he's totally got, like, the turtleneck black shirt and the jeans, and it's crazy looking. Right away when the report started coming out with these images, like, they were all saying that this wasn't officially licensed by Apple, it's not official, and I was always kind of wondering if that was going to cause an issue. Apparently it has. Because it looks like that the Steve Jobs action figure has been canceled, and a statement released from InIcon says that we have received immense pressure from the lawyers of Apple and Steve Jobs' family. They firmly believe that the figure doesn't infringe on any copyrights or trademarks, but they are canceling the product until they get support from the Jobs family. So anybody who has pre-ordered this figure will be receiving refunds soon. So... I don't know. That kind of begs the question, because we were talking about this a little bit before the show started.
So there's going to be a bunch of black market Steve Jobs action figures coming out.
Yeah, no kidding. So, I guess I kind of get the copyright infringing thing, but then you brought up a good point. Do you actually need to have the rights to produce a figure off of a public figure? I don't know if you do. I don't know. That might be some kind of gray area.
Like, I see if you can license somebody who was in a movie or did a particular project and why you would need a licensing for that particular... Because, like, if you get an actor's likeness for a particular product, it's not like you get his likeness in every movie he ever played in.
Right.
So you obviously are buying him for a certain project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people who are, like, politicians...
President.
People who are in charge of companies or just public people that don't really participate in entertainment in this situation, I don't know if you really need a license to get their likeness, whether you're capturing it in some kind of satire within a comic book or a documentary for a film or, in this case, a toy, which, I mean, maybe you do, but... If they believe that there's no reason that they're infringing, it's not like he has an Apple logo on him, then that's I think maybe they're right.
The example I keep referring to is, like, the presidential stuff. Like, they always make bobbleheads and action figures based off of presidents and presidential candidates and stuff like that.
And there's no way they're signing off on
that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that they would be signing off on stuff like that. So I guess maybe you can do that.
Yeah, Obama's like, yes, love it.
But then on the other hand, I think, like, well, if somebody was mass marketing an action figure based on my likeness, I would probably want a little chunk of that, you know? So I can understand why the Jobs family would be going, hey, whoa, hold on a minute.
I'm sure that company's more than willing to give them money, but they're probably like, oh, no, it's a creepy doll of our deceased family member. That's weird.
Yeah, that could be.
Whereas, I don't think it's weird. If I die tomorrow and you guys want to make an action figure of me, you have my blessing.
It's like an honor, right?
Yeah, I'll be like...
You've been preserved in plastic form.
I'll be staring at you on your camera at night when you're sleeping, as long as you make me say random dirty things and maybe my eyes follow you.
Oh my God.
That'd be perfect.
I don't want that figure.
Yeah. I want to just cuss at you randomly when you walk
by. I hope that's in, like, your will when you die. I leave this creepy action figure to Pixel Dan. He must leave this on his living room mantle for the rest of his life.
Or
else.
I want to scream, hey, wake up! In the middle of the night, 4 in the morning. I just want to scream, like, ridiculously loud, and there's no way to shut me off. You're, like, smacking me, like, there's, like, a little inside my, leg somewhere. There's this loud, piercing, wake up, wake up!
In your leg.
And then when you hit me, I want to go, why are you trying to kill me? Why are you trying to kill me?
Brilliant. All right, I wouldn't be too mad about that.
I would.
Yeah, well, deal with it. It's in his will.
Yeah,
we have to honor his wishes.
But it's not under my name. You just have to go sleep in the other room.
Whatever.
Bonus.
You still can hear me.
Bonus, bro. All right. Last little bit of news today. This one comes from the Four Horsemen, who have recently announced that they will be releasing a 4-set of Outer Spaceman exclusives at their upcoming Toypocalypse event, which is happening in New York. Now, they did a similar thing last year at the Scarabus. The way this is going to work is that they will have... It's a very, very limited run. It's going to be 4 exclusive Outer Spaceman figures that they are going to have available both at the event and online. Now, they're only going to have 100 sets available in New York and another 100 sets available on the website. So it's only a 200-set run. Very, very limited. The thing that's really cool about this is the 4 figures are being... designed and painted by Mel Bernkrant, who is the original creator of the Outer Spacemen. So that kind of adds a little bit of cool, like, nostalgia to this, because the man who created the Outer Spacemen is making these 4 variants. The whole point of this is to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the Outer Spacemen, but because this is such a limited run, these are going to be very pricey. So if you want the set of 4, you're going to have to be willing to drop $125 per set to pick it up.
That's a chunk of money.
It is a huge chunk of money, but it's cool because it's going to be a very limited run, and it's a chance to pick up a set of figures that are, you know, repainted by Mel Bernkrant, the guy who created the Outer Spacemen. So big fans of that property will probably want to grab that because that will be a very rare and probably very valuable piece in the future. They've started releasing images. They've only released 2 images so far of his repaints. They're releasing them one every other day for the rest of this week. So if you go to fourhorsemen.biz right now, you can actually see images of the Deep Blue Astro Nautilus, which is really, he's just wearing like a black outfit, and he's like a metallic blue painted, and he's got like the shiny gold weapon, which is kind of cool looking. And then they released Metal Morpho today, which is a metallic silver version of Metamorpho. So they've got those two online right now to look at. They're supposed to release the other two later this week. So might be something cool to check out if you're a huge Outer Spaceman fan. Like I said, this is like a high-end collectible. So if you've got the cash to spare, it'd be a cool thing to have.
They're hurting.
It is. Yeah, that's
with the Maddie and then that. Year,
isn't it? It is, because it was $100 for the set of two Scarabus last year.
Those things were pretty
and those were big.
Size.
Yep, so this is $125.
So you're paying about $30 for a little figure. Oh, that's a hard one to get.
It's harsh.
But they're so cool that it's really hard. It's like,
They're cool.
Why do you make me give me your money?
Well, and I'll tell you what, like, they're awesome. I love the Outer Spacemen. Mm-hmm. And I would have been, but I'd have been okay passing these up because, you know, repaints of the Outer Spacemen. I've already got a bunch of those. $125 is a lot of money. But the thing that makes me want them is the fact that Mel Bergkrantz is working on them. And I think a lot of people are going to feel that way too, because having the original creator do something on the brand again, probably for the last time, maybe, I mean, that's kind of neat because. He's in his 80s now, Mel Bergkrantz is, so you never know. This could be the last opportunity to get an Outer Spaceman figure that's done by Mel. So, kind of neat. Kind of a neat little thing.
But yeah, I get it.
Gotta be dedicated. Yeah, you gotta be dedicated, for sure. For sure. Alright, so that wraps up our toy news for the week. Let's see, where are we at? Before we go to a break and come back for the fan corner, I wanted to talk about Toy Hunters. Did you see that by any chance or know about it?
I heard about it through the grapevine, but I did not watch it.
Probably a good idea.
she was not impressed.
Well, you know,
the guy was so boring.
Offended by the show for various reasons that we discussed, but you know, if I could check it out, I might watch it.
I think it's worth checking out at least just to see it.
It comes out, I think, on.
They're re-airing it. They'll probably re-air it maybe again. But here's the thing with it. It was just a pilot. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's start this off. For anybody that doesn't know, we're talking about Toy Hunters, which is a new pilot that aired on the Travel Channel this past weekend. And basically the idea of Toy Hunters is that it's going to be a show about the world of action figures. If I had to describe the show to you, if you've ever seen American Pickers, this is the exact same format. Exact same format as American Pickers. Except he's looking for toys.
And no only toys.
And Christina says he has no personality. So here's the deal, is that this was just a pilot. Travel Channel aired it. And I think from what the stuff I was reading online, basically this pilot had to hit 500,000 viewers for Travel Channel to even consider making this into a series. Now, I don't think Travel Channel had a lot of faith behind this because they weren't advertising it at all. It came on at 10 o'clock on Sunday night. And from watching it, I don't really feel like this is going to be something that's going to pick up. You know what I mean? I got that vibe that I worry that it's not going. I don't know if it would have gotten those viewers it needed to actually become a series.
Well, it's probably right idea, wrong people kind of situation.
Could be.
It is, because, like, he's got personality. He doesn't have charisma, something to bring you in. You know how, Storage Wars, the people kind of bring you in with their,
with Dave Hester?
With, like, Dave Hester and Barry and all them guys and the, the Pickers. They've got personality. This guy doesn't have personality.
So he's just, like, a weird.
He's just talking.
So, okay, here's
it's hard
so
to explain.
Boring. Here's the,
it was kind of cool, but I got bored really fast.
Here's the story behind this episode. This guy sets up a booth, apparently, at all the major cons. He starts off the show by saying, you know, that that's how he makes his living. He goes to all the cons. He sells stuff. Last year at New York Comic Con, he made $15,000 for the total weekend. And so this year, he's going to top that by making $20,000. So that's how he starts off the show, by saying he's got to get some good toys so that he can make $20,000 this year at New York Comic Con.
Wow.
So
that seems like unreal to me. Okay, whatever.
And I figured that's kind of why I want you to check this out, so you can see it from the perspective of somebody who does what he does. So the show goes where he's going on a road trip, and he's traveling to this town in Ohio, which is where the old Kenner factory used to be. So a bunch of people who used to work for Kenner live in this area. So this is part of the show that I actually kind of liked.
That's a good tip.
So he goes and starts visiting these people's homes who used to work for Kenner. And these guys, like these designers that worked for Kenner, just like used to bring toys home from Kenner and just keep them. And this is the part of the show I actually did like, because we actually got to see some of these guys who worked on, like, the Mask toy line and the old Star Wars toy line and the old Batman toy lines. And, like, he goes into their houses and they've just got, like, boxes full of stuff that they had brought home from Kenner all these years ago, and they've just been sitting there ever since.
They don't care about it.
Yeah. So he's, like, digging through stuff and he's pulling out, like, Mint in Box Masks toys and, you know, Care Bears and plush Ewoks that are in perfect condition. And he's looking through all this stuff, and he's totally lowballing prices, of course. So he's like, he pulls out this giant pile of Mask toys, right? Mint in Box. He's like, I'll give you $60 for the set. And I'm just like,
wow.
What? You know? Oh, my God. And the designer guy was kind of like, he had a hard time getting rid of it, because apparently a lot of those Mask vehicles he had designed himself. So he ended up keeping some of them. He didn't want to get rid of them because he had designed them. So, you know, like, that part of the show was kind of neat, though, because, you know, it was neat seeing, like, these designers who worked on this stuff, you know, whatever.
There's no way you can, like, lowball them on TV and not get ripped apart.
Well, and then, here's the weird thing. When he actually did, like, sell the stuff, he priced it kind of low, at least I thought. Because he
wanted to sell it.
Like, he would, like, show, like, one of the mass things. I paid $20 for this, sold it for $45. It's like, I bet you could have got way more than $45 for a Mint in Box mask vehicle on eBay.
Well, if he's working in the conventions, you probably got talked down.
Maybe. But so while I felt like he was lowballing prices to buy, I didn't necessarily think he was overcharging either. So I don't know. It kind of made me go, how come I never see guys like that at conventions selling things that cheap? Because I buy something for that price, but yeah. I don't know. So later on in the show, he goes to this guy's house who worked on Thundercats with LJN. Mm-hmm. And so this dude's just got tons of Thundercat stuff. And he's got, like, all these... He's got the original piece that they used to cast the head on the castle, the Cat's Lair playset.
Mm-hmm.
He had that, and I thought that was kind of neat. He showed that off. And he had a bunch of prototypes, including one that's, like, supposedly, like, the rarest prototype from the Thundercats line. There was a figure called the Mad Bubbler that, I guess, never got released. So he had, like, the only prototype of it. So dude ends up, like, he doesn't buy it from the guy because the guy didn't want to really part with it, but he does, like, a consignment kind of thing with him where he's like, let me take this to the show. I'm going to put $15,000 on it, and if somebody buys it, I will keep $5,000. You can have the rest. It was something like that, something along those lines. So the guy was like, okay, you can do that, and he agreed to that.
Wow.
So he takes this. Then he goes to this comic book shop that's in the area, and this guy's just like, yeah, you know, Kenner employees just come in here all the time. They used to trade me stuff from the shop for comic books. I just kept it all in the back storage room. So he goes in the back storage room. This dude's just got, like, mint on card Kenner Star Wars figures from back in the 70s and 80s. Just pile, you know, this whole box of them. And then he finds a freaking prototype of rocket-firing Boba Fett, which is the figure that got recalled and never actually got released. It's just a prototype of the rocket-firing Boba Fett. So he ends up getting it from this guy. Buys it off this guy.
How's a comic book store have this?
Right? It's crazy. Crazy.
That's insane.
So, and then the last place he goes is he actually, you know, Tomart's Action Figure Digest?
Mm-hmm.
He goes to their headquarters. And so they've got this warehouse of just all these toys because they've bought all these toys to take pictures for their magazine and everything. So they have this whole warehouse. So they let him just dig through this warehouse. And he ends up buying a bunch of stuff off of them, too. So, at the end of the episode...
How do you figure that out?
I know, right? So, at the end... Well, obviously, it's a TV show.
Right.
It's all staged, okay? The TV show sets all this stuff up. I guarantee it. So, the end of the show is him at the Comic-Con trying to sell his stuff. And, you know, he's got two high-dollar items that he really wants to sell. He's got the Mad Bubbler that he's selling for $15,000 and the rocket-firing Boba Fett that he's selling for $17,000.
No, it was $20,000.
No, I think it was $17,000.
No, he got it down to $17,000.
Okay. So, He's got these two pieces, and then he's got all that other stuff. And they kind of do the thing, you know, where they're like, you know, pick this up for this price, sold it for this price. They totally do the thing like they do in Storage Wars and all right. that. So at the end, he's like, oh, I'm freaking out. There's 15 minutes left in the con. I've made, you know, $17,000, so I haven't made my $20,000 yet that I want to make. But I really want to sell these two high price items. Suddenly, random skater punk looking dude, who apparently works for, I forget, he's apparently somebody. I found that out today that he's somebody. I can't remember who he works for. Random dude walks up to the booth. He's looking at guy's Star Wars figures, and he's just like, I'm a huge Star Wars collector. I have doubles of all of the old Kenner stuff mint on card, blah, 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 blah. And so he was just like, oh, well, take a look at this rocket-firing Boba Fett. And the dude's just like, I'll buy it, $17,000. So,
he offers him 20, but he only goes to 17, so yeah. He sells it to him.
So this guy buys this rocket-firing Boba Fett for $17,000. On his credit card. When there's only like...
How did you even do that?
I know, right? When there's only like 5 minutes left in the con. So, yay, hooray, I made the $20,000 I needed to make plus more. You know, it was kind of one of those things where when it was at this point in the show, I was going... Okay, now this feels a little iffy because that's just a little too
only because we know how this stuff works.
Yeah, I mean that's just the way TV works, and I understand that reality TV is not real.
Well,
it's
we know
still
how the con
scripted.
Works, how the store
that's
function
true.
Works. There's just no way any of that could possibly work.
And I understand, like, okay, this guy obviously turned out to be somebody, but my initial thought was, who is walking around a Comic-Con? $17,000 to blow, you know? I mean, I guess maybe some people do. I don't know. I mean, a lot of times from our experience, we've seen that these people go to these shows looking for bargains. Mm-hmm. They don't go looking to drop high dollar on that kind of stuff. And it just seems really strange that it seemed out of place for somebody just to go, okay, I got that. $17,000. Let's roll. I'll take it home right now.
Well, he did the whole thing. My girlfriend's going to kill me.
Yeah,
I don't know if I should do this.
I don't know. So, I mean, in the end, I will say having a show on TV about toys, kind of a neat thing. On the other hand, I worry that a show like this is going to make all those people go, I got toys, that means they're worth a ton of money, mm-hmm. so I'm going to start trying to sell these for high dollar. I worry about that kind of thing. That's mm-hmm. always been one of my fears about these kind of shows. I liked the history part of the show a lot, which kind of brings me back to if it was actually a show on TV that was about giving us information about toys and showing us rare toys... which was, you know, put that new toy smell on TV, I'd be into something like that. I liked the part of the show where we got to see the guys that worked at the factories, talked about the stuff that they produced, we got to see all this cool box stuff and see prototypes. I really enjoyed that part. When it came down to the whole money stuff, I was like, don't care about that. I don't need to see that kind of stuff.
Because the whole time you're going to be like, ugh.
Exactly. Ugh. And you see, like, I sit there and I yell at the TV, no, that's not worth that much. Or, ah, whatever. You know, I do that kind of thing. And it's like, I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see if this picks up, if they actually pick it up as a regular series. And, like, I'll stick with it for a while just to see where it goes if they do pick it up for a series. But I don't know if, I really don't know if it's going to get picked up.
I don't know. Sounds awfully familiar.
It really does.
And it doesn't make you mad.
Yeah, I was very hesitant to watch the show because of that. You can ask her.
She was. Yeah. Actually, you were also kind of interested too. Like,
I know.
You were.
The
there.
First time I heard about it too, the first thing I thought was, "Oh, really?
Yeah, really." Well, my thing is, regardless of who it is, maybe I should support a toy show on TV because it's still, you know, that's our people. It's our people.
As long as it's a
help
good,
out our people.
As long as
right?
it's somebody who cares about toys versus somebody who's just a dirtbag vendor.
And I don't really want to call this guy a dirtbag vendor.
No,
because he did
not.
Care about his stuff.
Yeah.
He seemed like he knew what he was talking about. You know what I mean? He didn't come across as like a Dave Hester who was just like, whatever, money, money, money. Yeah, yep. You know, he wasn't like that. He wasn't like
well,
that at
if
all.
It depends if his lines were written for him, so he sounded
that's true.
Sincere.
That's true.
Versus
okay, well, the writers, if it's a writer, they need to give him a little bit more
I'll have to catch him at the show and see if I can, like, talk to him for a second. If he seems legitimate, I'll be like, okay, good for you, man.
Yeah, I know. Like, I wonder if people are going to, like, go looking for him now at conventions.
Where's
this guy at?
To.
Yeah.
Either way, this dude wins.
He'll have, he'll have a big Toy Hunters banner now on his booth, so that people
only
know.
If it lasts.
Well, even the pilot episode is still exposure. He got exposure.
That is true.
That's going to help bring people to his booth, regardless.
Do you think he has a store too, or do you think he just goes to cons?
I don't remember if he said he had a store or not. I think
he's got an office, because remember that they got one of the chicks. He totally has,
just like American Pickers. He's got like a chick who would call him and give him leads.
Oh, of course.
I was like, really? This is American Pickers to the T.
He was calling Command Center.
Yeah. I was like, gosh, I don't know. So I don't know. If you guys get a chance to check it out, do it. Take a look at it. See what you think. I don't know if it's re-airing or when it's re-airing, but, I mean, you can probably make...
Well, when we were looking for it, I think it was
maybe,
like...
I don't know.
Use your DVR.
It was re-airing sometime in the AMs, like early AMs.
I don't know. And it'll be interesting to see if Travel Channel picks it up. I really don't know if they will, but we'll see. We'll see. All right, well, let's go and take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll dig through some fan questions. We'll be right back.
What it is, friends. Sweenholic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Hi there, you're listening to a podcast which you can only find on popculturenetwork.com. My name is Chris Vint, and I'm the host of a couple of podcasts on popculturenetwork.com, such as Master Universe Chronicles and Operation Retroshock. But today I'm here to talk to you about Master Universe Chronicles. Are you a fan of all things He-Man, Masters of the Universe? Do you love the vintage toys, but you're not thinking, I don't really know an awful lot about them? Well, why don't you listen to Master Universe Chronicles? I've got interviews with Pop Culture Network's own Pixel Dan. I've got even interviews with the head of Mattel, brand manager Scott Toy Guru Knightlick, Larry DiTillo, who worked in the Filmation 1, Dean Steffen, who worked in the 2002 incarnation of Master Universe. So yeah, why not even head over to the Pop Culture Network forums, have your say on what episodes you would like to see featured on my episode commentaries with James Bustatoon's E-Talk. There's a lot going on, and I would love to have you involved, so why not listen to the show and contribute, and head over to the forums. And until next time.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass, and if you love toys, come check out my show, Not Mitten Box, every Tuesday on the Pop Culture Network.
Alright guys, welcome back from the break. Alright, let's go ahead and dive into the fan corner. We got a bunch of questions again this week, because you guys are question-asking machines. So, we will start off with another question from Orko. He says, Killen, this one's for you. Understanding your, from what I can tell, lukewarm interest in the Creo Transformers, what new characters would you like to see made in 2012? I know Hound and Ironhide have been announced, and I'm looking forward to seeing who else is on their way, and who you think deserves to be made.
Well, everybody I care about has been made. Megatron, made. Prowl, made. Anybody else I really don't care about, honestly. I always liked Optimus Prime, just because the fact that he was a semi was awesome to me. But, I mean, Starscream, too, another one I liked. But, I mean, I guess I just like the villains.
What about Grimlock? Yeah. Hey, Grimlock. No?
I'm having a brain fart, but I'm trying to think of the dinosaur guy.
That's Grimlock.
Grimlock.
I just said that.
Yeah, Grimlock. but you didn't say it like I knew.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Grimlock.
The dinosaur guy, Grimlock.
With a crown. Yeah, I'd totally go for that.
That would be cool.
But yeah, no, everybody I care about so far has been made. Grimlock's the only other person I really have any interest in, and I'm sure that's coming. It's gotta be.
I'm sure. Alright, so he also says, knowing you guys have some knowledge in the realm of custom figures, does anyone know anyone who's good at making custom packaging? Thinking of getting a third set of the Star Sisters, the first one for Mint on Car, the second set to open, and the third to put each of the three sisters in individual packaging to display. None of us here, probably. I've done some of that kind of stuff in the past, but it was mostly with, like, the Kenner Star Wars stuff, which is a little easier to do. The Master stuff, I'm not real sure, but maybe you should get in touch with Hunter Knight from Hunter Knight Customs, because I know he does that kind of stuff, and he might be able to help you out or maybe give you some pointers. So just do a search for him. He's on YouTube. He's on the He-Man.org forums. He's got his own site.
He's on Facebook.
He's on Facebook. So do a search for Hunter Knight, and you'll find him, and ask him. He might be able to help you out. All right. Clone Yoshi 4JJ says, "Hey, guys, I'm making a comedy plush Mario series called CY Mario Brothers, and I was wondering what characters you guys would like to see. It could be from anything like He-Man or Mega Man. Also, I wanted to know if you guys collect video game plushes or if you stick with action figures." Let's see. Let's put some crazy characters in there. Let's make this challenging for them. Do they have to be plush? Because I don't know who's got a plush and who doesn't.
Well, he's going to make them, right? It doesn't matter if plush. You can make them plush.
Are you making? Oh.
He just wants to know what characters you'd like to see plushed.
I think you should definitely do Mosquitor, and you should definitely do Cutman from Mega Man. How about that? I'm gonna throw that in there. Boom, Cutman from Mega Man.
We obviously need a Scareglow that glows in the dark.
Scareglow, good one.
Glows in the dark. I don't know. I mean, really, I'm not really. I don't know.
As far as if plush we collect plush, I don't really collect plush. I mean,
I have a daughter, and she has a lot of plush, and it gives me an excuse to buy it. I don't hate plush. I'm actually okay with it. I just have a hard time fitting it in with my stuff.
Yeah, I pretty much just stick with action figures just because. Like, I have nothing against plush. I think a lot of them are really cool.
I mean, I would take it if you send it to me. I just play it, but I just don't normally buy it.
Right. Same here. All right. GTitus76 says, "Really love the show. My question has to do with, since Mattel bought the license to Back to the Future early last year, the only thing that they've brought out was the Hot Wheels DeLorean time machine packaged in the plutonium case. Do you think we'll ever get Back to the Future action figures? Or because of the failure of the Ghostbusters line, is this just a pipe dream? Also, if they do, would you want 6-inch collector figures or 3¾-inch figures?" I think the Back to the Future stuff is indefinitely on hold right now. Mm-hmm. The last time we talked about this, Mattel had come out and said, "Well, we never actually said we were going to do action figures," which leads me to believe that they're not doing action figures right now.
Although I'm clearly certain they did say that, but
yeah, whatever. Yeah, because they told us from the get-go that they had the rights to do Marty and Doc.
So apparently they meant like on a t-shirt.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden they decided that, you know, they didn't really say that they were going to do that or not, and that they haven't really decided how they're going to utilize the license, et cetera, et cetera. Ghostbusters probably did factor into their decision quite a bit, I guarantee it. So I don't really know if I'd count on getting any of those figures. If they did do them, I would want them 6-inch just so they fit in with all the rest of the stuff that they've already done. That's just my opinion, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6-inch probably better.
Sand Dancer USA says, "First of all, I want to say amazing job on YouTube and hi, Stina."
Hi.
Amazing job on YouTube?
You're
welcome for YouTube.
We do way better on there, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Question one.
We fixed the
YouTube. Oh, it's because of the partner status. That might be what it is. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Question number one is for Stina. What do you think of the Living Dead dolls? My wife collects them and is amassing quite a collection. Fine, we just talked about this earlier.
They're cool. They're just not for me. They're a little creepy for me.
Christina is the pretty princess collector and not the scary princess.
Like,
collector.
Some of them are actually really cool. Like, the one, like, the penguin and all that, but, like, the one without the eye and the one with the big eyes. They're cool, though. They're just not for me.
I like the Living Dead dolls. The only thing I don't like is I don't like having dolls in my house I have a creepy thing about dolls.
Look creepy?
Yeah.
And if you bring home a doll, your daughter's going to get into it.
If we have one or two, it's fine. But when you have, rows of dolls, and, for some reason, that's just, equates to some kind of horrific horror thing in my head. So...
Really?
Yeah, I think I wake up and I'm like...
You know, like, oh, right, God, yeah.
I used to have dolls, like, I used to collect porcelain dolls, and I used to have all three of my walls were covered in them.
We do have a lot of porcelain dolls in the house.
They're not up or anything. They're some boxes.
We did have them up for a long time, though. Yeah. In our bedroom at the apartment, we had shelves of porcelain dolls all
everywhere.
Around. Everywhere.
Yeah, so that's creepy.
I
had to sleep in the porcelain doll room.
I had to sleep in the...
No, it doesn't really creep me out. No, it didn't bother me.
That's creepy.
All right, his second question is for Lord Killen. Mm. Do you collect anything other than Lego, or is Lego where the money goes? And this doesn't necessarily mean other toys, either. It could be your secret stash of Lego porn. You got that?
I've actually thought of creating Lego porn using the stop motion just for the ridiculousness of it and put it on like on YouTube,
and you know it would get so many views because would be watching the heck out of it.
I'd censor it, of course, to make it more realistic.
That'd be hilarious.
That's just
wrong. It may still come if I can figure out the stop motion thing. I buy Legos. Definitely takes the lion's share just because they're expensive. I do like all building type toys though, so I do collect all the other brands, especially the knockoffs. So I really, really like knockoff Lego stuff. The compatible with other brick stuff.
Yeah.
I buy the crap out of that. I don't like Mega Bloks so much, but I will say this new Power Ranger Samurai Mega Block stuff was perfect. The figures were, like, great. So I did... I have all of them.
You have those? Have you opened them up and played with them?
I haven't. Well, they show the figure right on the card.
Right.
But they are the closest to Lego... And that was one of the things I did not like about Mega Bloks was their minifigure was so different.
Right.
But now that with this line, they're really close to similarity, I do like them now. Cool. And I don't have any Power Ranger stuff, so I thought this was like a perfect time to buy in, so I did. I do also like the Galios stuff, which is another building toy. Go to onaildesigns.com and check them out. They're awesome.
Yeah, Galios.
And I do have... a ton of Master Universe stuff, vintage and new, and of course I have a large G.I. Joe collection, including single card figures and box sets. And that's pretty much it.
Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do have a lot of vintage Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. I figured now is the time to buy vintage Ninja Turtles before they go crazy.
Before it gets crazy? Yeah. Oh, maybe I need to do that too, actually. Yeah. Oh, no, we gave away the secret.
I've already seen the prices starting to creep up a little bit on them, but I know that's the next thing to go insane with the new Turtles coming out.
Right.
I'm pretty sure those prices are going to go...
Probably.
All right, question 3 says, Pixel Dan, seriously, what are your thoughts on the Mighty Spector? Kidding, you must get sick of being asked that question every week. My real question is...
He loves it.
Do you think we will see any more of the fan-made characters made into Classics characters? I am thinking Polar and also Terrorfly, as these have been made into Stactions before, so technically they're now in the He-Man universe. No, not technically. Those are not official Stactions. Those are custom-made by fans. So, they've been made into figures, they've been made into Stactions, they have not officially been made by Mattel, so they're not technically in the He-Man universe, the canon. But some of that stuff is really cool. I like seeing some of the different creations that the fans make.
You were quick to throw those out of the canon.
Well, because they're not official. I just wanted to make sure that was known, that they're not official. I don't know if Mattel will ever do anything like that, because in order for them to do that, they have to own the character. And it would have to be one of those things where... It's one of those things where companies always say, we can't take recommendations from our customers. You know, so like if you... said to Mattel, hey, I got this idea for a character, and showed them a picture, they would probably just throw it in the trash. That's just the way it works.
You have to slip it in the box or on a napkin where somebody like Scott's eating and be like, this would be cool if this was a character. And he'd be like, that would be cool.
You got to trick them into thinking it was their idea.
Right.
And then, oh, I'm a genius! Yeah, we're going to make this guy.
Of course, they would take all ownership and rights to the figure, so you got to trade off.
But honestly, I don't know how that's actually going to work after this 30th anniversary line. I think it completely depends on how the 30th anniversary line does with all of these, like, new characters that they're releasing. If that doesn't do well, they'll probably never do any more new characters again. They'll just stick with the classics. If that happens to do extremely well, then they'll probably look at the possibility of including some of these, new, brand new characters into the canon. So we'll just have to kind of see how that goes, probably. Question four, Killen and Dan, have you thought of getting life-size cardboard cutouts for Dirt, Scotty, and Rick when they aren't there?
No, but I have now.
That is awesome.
If I could figure out how to do that, like, without spending too much money and where I don't have to actually do all the work, yeah, I'd do that, totally. So if you know a .com where I can get that done, let me know and I'll definitely for sure do that.
And then his last question is, what are your opinions on Masters of the Universe going 4-inch if they bring out a new movie? Do you think that would sell? Would you buy into it? This is still keeping the 6-inch line as well, so no getting rid of anything. We would actually be adding another line similar to Thundercats. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would, absolutely. For sure. As long as I don't lose classics, I will still buy into any other He-Man stuff, guaranteed. So if they make a 4-inch line, I'm in. Just don't get rid of my classics. Alright, Swords of Destiny says, I just joined the forums. Welcome aboard. It seemed it took an act of Congress to do so. I had to create two separate accounts, one to get into PCN and one to get into the forums. Crazy. Okay, let's clear that up real quick. There are two places to create an account. There's the front page of the site where you can make an account. That is solely for commenting on stories on the front page. That is not necessary to do unless you want to comment on stories on the front page. What you should do is only create an account on the forums, because that's what you'll need to actually discuss topics on the forums or post questions. We don't have a way to link them together, unfortunately, because they're run from two separate programs. This might be something we can look into fixing down the road if we ever do a site overhaul.
We want to fix that problem, and we hope to address it, but just for now, create a user on the forums,
not the front page. Now, unless you absolutely want to post comments on the front page, but nobody really does that. Everybody does all their talking on the forums. So just
you could do it.
Do that. I mean, that's totally up to you guys.
I don't know if we'll ever see those comments because we don't look for them.
We forget that they're there a lot because nobody really uses it. That's the thing. Like, I don't. Sometimes I'll go, oh, somebody commented on this, and I'll click on it and I'll read it. But mostly we stick to the forum. So anyway, he says. I'm a huge Masters of the Universe collector. As a kid, I had everything, pretty much. I had Eternia, the playsets, and I had all of the figures except Clamp Champ and the rare figures. As a kid, I began to use my He-Man and She-Ra toys to play other scenarios besides Masters of the Universe. For example, I became really interested in Greek myths as a kid. After learning about it in school and seeing the original Clash of the Titans, and I began to rename some of my Masters of the Universe figures as Zeus and his Olympian family. King Randor became Zeus, Merman became Poseidon, Skeletor became Hades.
Nice.
I used Castaspella as Athena, Thunderpunch He-Man as Hercules, Catra as Persephone, and on and on.
That's
really cool. That is awesome. I was wondering, when you were all kids, did you ever reassign toys for other uses or scenarios? Also, do you all enjoy action figures based on Greek myths or other mythologies? What line of figures in the past has been the best representation of mythological characters, in your opinion? Answer the first question. No, I didn't really do that. I was one of those weird kids who always had to play with them exactly as they were. I had to keep their accessories together, and that's just how I was.
You're so weird.
The only exception I really have to that rule is, and I've told this story before too, after the Masters of the Universe movie came out, I liked to reenact the movie with my figures, but of course didn't have all of the characters that were in the movie in figure form. So I always, from that point on, Scareglow became Skeletor, because he was white like the Skeletor in the movie, and I thought he was cooler looking. So I always used Scareglow as Skeletor, and don't ask me why, but for whatever reason, Clamp Champ became Kevin from the movie, because I needed to have Kevin. So even though Clamp Champ's a black guy and Kevin's a white guy, that didn't matter to me as a kid. Clamp Champ was Kevin from then on out. So that's probably the only example I can really remember, because after the movie came out, that's how I always played with my Masters figures. I always just reenacted the movie. I had Blade, Sorod, and Gwildor, and then I just used other characters however I could to make the other characters from the movie.
I was poor, so yes, I used the same figures for everything. my GoBots were my G.I. Joes, and they were my Master of the Universe.
Oh my god!
For some reason, I remember having GoBots. That's all I can really remember having, so I must have wished I had other things, and I made my GoBots be them things.
You ever do anything like that?
I had Barbies. They were Barbies.
Barbies were Barbies.
Barbies were Barbies.
Whatever.
As for the Greek mythology thing, yeah, I've always really been interested in that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. And,
representation right now. God of War toys?
Part of the reason I love the God of War games so much is because I just think the mythology thing is awesome. And I know that those aren't, of course, exact or anything like that, but they're a lot of fun, and I just love that whole style and era. And I did buy all those figures for that reason. I have always said that I wish if any company could have produced some cool mythology type stuff, I would have liked to see McFarlane produce like a whole line that was nothing but mythological characters. Now, I know they did in some of their other lines, they made like a Zeus and stuff like that, but I'm talking like if they did like a whole line of just like the gods and different characters from mythology, I think McFarlane could have done some really cool stuff in their heyday when they were making all those really nice looking statue type figures. NECA would be another good company now. Where if they wanted to just make their own generic, like, usually they do licensed stuff, so I don't think that they would do that, but if they wanted to do, like, their own line of, like, mythological stuff, I think NECA could do some really cool-looking figures based off that. So, I don't know.
We'll see.
Yep. All right. X-Mad, X-Scientist, X. If your entire toy collection became spontaneously animated and began to fight for dominion, which of your figures would reign victorious?
Side characters.
Your side characters would win?
Yes.
Obviously, Mosquito would conquer all. He is the coolest of the toys.
My Lego armies. I have plates. I have, like, the large plates of just rows of the same minifigure. And I must have 200 or more clone troopers.
Wow.
And I have like probably 300 or more of these just plain black figures with the white skeleton head with a black helmet on. Oh. That I was going to use for like as an army of some other force for Star Wars. So I bought like just hundreds of these same figures and I have them on plates just like all lined up.
That's
like
awesome.
A ridiculous army. So.
I'd actually kind of be interested to see what my Two-Face figures would do if they all came to life. Like, I just got this army of Two-Face running around. The only problem is they'd all be trying to flip coins and decide what they were going to do. So they probably wouldn't be very successful in what they were doing.
Nope. Too much chaos.
He says, it's also his mission to have one... Oh, wow, this is a worded weird. Okay, it is his mission to have one of all of the low keys, by which I mean I'd like to have a figure of each of his looks in Marvel Comics. I'm really looking forward to pre-ordering my Hot Toys movie low key figure. Where should I do that? I've never bought from Hot Toys. And what do you think the odds are that Hasbro will ever make figures of Lady Low Key or Kid Low Key in the 3¾-inch Marvel Legends scale?
Does that mean he got married?
No. Low Key was a lady for a while in the comics.
Oh.
And I guess probably a kid too.
Oh, the kid from the movie. Well, he was a kid in the movie.
Oh, maybe that's what I don't know. Sideshow sells Hot Toys stuff, right?
Sideshow would be the best place to get them because they're actually a partner with Hot Toys. The problem with Sideshow is they can't give you an exact date of when they're going to get it. And they are notorious for switching those dates continuously. When you're going to get it, when you're not. So you're going to pre-order it, obviously, and spend the money. And it's going to be random when it shows up. Now, some things do ship like they're supposed to. But there are a lot of horror stories of people waiting for products to be released that don't. Something like Loki, I'm sure it would be coming out with, you know, how popular it is right now. But, you know, don't expect to get it exactly when you think you're going to get it.
No.
But, you know, if you start seeing it at other.coms carrying it and it's in stock, more than likely they'll have it first because they are an actual partner of Hot Toys.
Cool. As far as your other question goes, I guess as long as the Marvel Universe line continues to go on to be successful, I'm sure that's possible. They've already made a few obscure characters for that line, so they produce so many figures for that line. So I would assume, as long as it keeps going strong, that it's always a possibility that they'll do those characters. Alright, next one is The Rook, who says, what up, PC and crew? I had one question and one comment this week. What cartoons are you guys currently watching and or looking forward to watching in 2012? I'm looking forward to the new seasons of Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, Thundercats, Transformers Prime, and Young Justice. New shows I'm looking forward to this year are Green Lantern, the Animated Series, Last Airbender, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Ultimate Spider-Man. Currently, I am watching Thundercats, Star Wars Clone Wars, and Young Justice. Those are the three cartoons that I'm, like, mostly watching. As far as new stuff I'm anticipating this year, I think the only thing really is Ninja Turtles. But that's even if it is this year. That might not still be until 2013. I'm not sure. Because I know that I think it's like end of 2012, beginning 2013 is what they're saying. So, so that may not be until next year still. I would be watching Voltron Force more. The problem is that I don't have Nicktoons TV here, and I have to watch it online, and I'm really bad about remembering to go to the Nicktoons website and watch the latest episode. So I actually need to catch up on Voltron Force.
I'm not watching any cartoons right now, but I do, and I probably will watch the initial one when that comes available. The one cartoon that I haven't watched yet, and I need to go back because every time I think about it, I'm like, I need to watch that, is the G.I. Joe Renegades.
Oh, yeah, I never watched that either. I don't have the hub, man. I need to get the hub.
I kind of want to watch that.
You have the hub?
Mm-hmm. He's got the hub.
Yeah, we got the hub. We got satellite.
I know every time I'm flipping through the channels and I see that like G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, or Transformers, or Gem and the Holograms is on.
The hub, man.
The
hub is nonstop.
Yeah, I'm like, ah, I should be watching that right now. I get so mad.
The hub does an awesome job.
Alright, so his comment is, for Pixel Dan, after watching numerous videos that you've posted over the last few years, you inspired me to create a few videos of my own. Shot some videos out at PowerCon ThunderCon and made the following two videos. They aren't anything fancy, but I'd love to make a few more in the near future. Maybe do some videos on retro video games or toys and things I dig out of my parents' attic. I found a few treasures the last time I went up there. Thanks for taking a look. Anyways, love the show. Glad you're going to keep both the video and the audio version of the show. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad I can help inspire you. And you were at PowerCon. Did you say hi to me? That's cool. I'm glad that you posted videos. That's awesome. All right. Pyrus Massacre. Man, you guys, this is so long. What are you guys doing to us?
They're personal questions.
Pyrus Masquerade says, just a heads up, I left a voicemail asking the first question. These are questions. Oh, okay. Maybe this was the question that we got. We did get a voicemail that asked if the Pop Culture Network store had other locations anywhere else. And the answer is no. We're only this one location here in Springfield, Illinois. Mm-hmm. So if there are other stores in your area that are named similar, like Pop Culture or something, that's not us. So the best way to order from us is to either come into the store here in Springfield or shoppcn.com and order online. So that's your best bet for buying stuff.
Booyah.
Booyah! All right, so questions from his girlfriend. For Mr. Pixel Dan and Mrs. Stina, how did you two first meet? Oh, this is a good story for the podcast.
Oh, we don't need to tell us.
This will be a fun story.
We met at a bar.
We did meet at a bar.
What?
We met at a bar. Danny was trashed out of his mind, and he came up to me and started talking to me.
I don't even drink. All right, I may not have been sober that night.
Okay, he wasn't trash, but he was drunk.
He's not in the bar to do bookkeeping.
Here's the fun thing about that night, okay? So we were there, I was out, it was dude's night out. I was out with a bunch of my friends.
And I was out with a bunch of my guy friends.
And they decided, we were all good, you know, we had been drinking and having fun, and my friends had all decided to play this game called Have You Met Danny?
It's off of How I Met Your Mother.
So they kept pushing me at girls all night going, Have You Met Danny? But I was so drunk that I didn't want to do anything except act like an idiot. So they'd push me at him, and then I'd go, yeah, what's up? And I'd go and do whatever with the chicks, and I'd go, yeah, you know, the secret handshake. And then I'd turn around and I'd walk away because I was just drunk.
Oh, so you did Christina, and she goes,
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so that went on for a while, and then what was funny about it is I noticed her. They didn't do that with her. I just walked right up to her, and I was just like, hey, how's it going? And I started talking to her, and that
freaked
was kind of
me out.
I scared her at first because I was just some random drunk dude that was just like, "Hey, baby."
She's like, "Oh yeah."
Let's go. So we talked for a long time there, and then she ended up leaving, and then it was really weird because like a few weeks later,
month
later, she saw me at another bar.
It was a pool cue place.
Yeah,
playing cue. And I was on crutches.
She had hurt herself.
I had a broken foot.
You doing that at the bar place with crutches?
It was a pool hall. And I was at a pool hall. And I was like, it was really funny because I saw her and I was like, I think that's that girl that I drunked all over.
Well, because we have a similar friend that we didn't know about.
Yeah. And then a little while after that, she found me on MySpace. And we were just like, hey, do you remember me? I'm that girl. And then we started talking, and then that's kind of how things came together. Really, really weird story, but there you go.
Thanks, Facebook.
That's, yeah.
MySpace.
MySpace.
What is that place?
Yeah. MySpace? Yeah, this was back before Facebook.
Did you have a glitter page?
Glitter.
Yeah, I did. Glitter. Not glitter page, but glitter figure
did
thingies
it force
on
you
it.
To listen, like,
man, this is a huge
Shields kiss from a rose.
Yes. And dude, MySpace is so terrible. Everybody had like stupid songs that would just start playing as soon as you went to the page, and all them animated GIFs.
It was bedazzled.
Yeah. Bedazzled.
Mine was bedazzled.
Alright, Killen, what is your all-around favorite Lego set model kit of all time?
Right now, my favorite one, and I haven't even opened it, so I can't even legitimately say this, is the, it was a Lego.com exclusive, it sold to Lego stores, or on the website, is the large Imperial gunship. I can't think of the exact name of it right now, but that's my favorite so far.
Sweet.
$180. Crazy price.
And then he says, how many Transformers Creo sets have you picked up?
Four.
Have there ever been a time in your lives where you doing the right thing has saved the lives of others?
Every day.
I did. I saved my sister's life.
What'd you do?
We boated when we were, well, yeah, we still boat, but we boated when we were little, and we had one of those tubes that had the big hole in it. But when we fell off the tube, we were getting back in it, and she accidentally slid down, and her head went underneath the tube that was in there, and I had to actually pull her out because she couldn't get out.
Wow. You saved her life.
I didn't know I saved her life at the time, because I just thought she was having trouble getting up.
Huh. All right, so now we have a story, apparently. He says, the weirdest thing happened on January 15th. I got back from Target, and I saw people that looked exactly like Pixel Dan, Stina, and Killen. Maybe it was us.
Were you there?
That's possible.
The funny thing was that the guy that looked like Killen was in the Lego aisle buying a Pirates of the Caribbean Black Pearl set, and two each of the Creo that was there, except for Mirage, which only had one left before he got there. Thank God I had picked up Mirage before he had gotten there. 2 hours later, my girlfriend had asked me to buy her the Optimus Prime Creo. I said, okay. I was very hesitant because it was about $60. We're going with this story, bro. Where are we going here? All right, so I went back, and there was a guy that was also there with an amazingly hot employee asking if he could buy the Creo display. She said no, and started arguing with her, and then she called her manager. So I grabbed the Optimus Prime Creo and got out of there, but as I was leaving, I noticed that the freaking insane-as-hell guy had his hand on the gun in his pocket, so pretended that I had a question and pulled the hot employee aside and warned her about how the guy had a gun in his pocket. And she said, thank you for the heads up. I'll let the manager know.
What?
So I had left after I told the manager. And just as I got into my car, started driving away, I started hearing sirens and a helicopter. I am like, oh, for the love of Morgan's beer. So then I get home, my girlfriend runs up to me and bear hugs me and starts crying, saying, thank God I'm alive. So I turn on the news and guess what? Target. Apparently the guy was arrested. Then I get a phone call from the manager saying what had happened after I left, and they gave me a $250 gift card. Very interesting day,
wow.
Don't you think?
Well, how they have your information?
Did you give them your information? That's insane, dude.
And scary.
So which one of us was the one that had the gun? If we're one of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly
no,
it was me.
Clearly it was me. I'm here.
Why would I want to buy the Creo display? That was you, dude.
Because you.
It's totally you.
We're going to pay for it, though.
That's
wow.
Insane.
You want to buy the bullets in my gun. Like a crazy.
So this dude was going to straight shoot somebody over a Creo display?
Hey, collectors can be crazy.
Man, stuff about to jump off here at Target. At Target.
All right, let's see. Gundam Warrior posted some pictures of his Christmas haul, which is
what
cool.
What is that?
It's The Adventures of Tintin Volume 4, Tintin Movie Coffee Mug, The Art of Kung Fu Panda 2, Ghostbusters Soundtrack, Fears of the Dark, and a board game.
What's
called Nabbit.
It's a family game with stolen
words. So it's like Scrabble almost? Like a word game?
I don't know. He also got Infamous 2, Wolf's Reign, The Complete Series, Attack of the Mushroom People, Reboot, The Complete Series, Iron Claw, Anthropomorphic RPG, Neptune Rising, and $40 of CC's gift cards. Oh, we don't have CC's anymore.
Oh, I miss CC's. I want their macaroni pizza.
His girlfriend got a bunch of My Little Pony sets and got the Laguna Blue Chamber, which we haven't been able to find anywhere. And the Star Wars Transformers Darth Vader Anakin set.
Did you see they have Create Your Own Monster High dolls now?
Yes! Yeah. We saw those the other day. We thought those were really cool.
Your daughter would probably really like those.
Yeah, I'm not getting her started.
So they also said that I have a new goal after I find a new job. It's to get Stina exposed to My Little Pony Friendship is Magic and become a Pegasister.
Pegasister? Is that what bronies are called?
That's the chick version of bronies, I guess. On a more serious note, a few weeks back, Stina said she had never seen The Secret of Nim. Has this been corrected?
No.
Oh, wow. Still, I still gotta say wow.
Nope, still hasn't been corrected.
That's totally your kind of movie.
If not, I'm willing
Do
to...
Do we own that movie?
It says, if not, I'm willing to send a copy of the film along with a couple other animated films to see the reaction of a Disney fan to non-Disney animated films. Mostly, I am thinking of the Studio Ghibli films like Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, and the like. Yeah. Let me know if you're
Thumbelina's
interested.
Thumbelina's not
That's
a Disney.
Stuff, right?
Yeah. Thumbelina's not a Disney movie, and I love Thumbelina.
I think she would like Princess Mononoke and Spirited Away for sure.
Do we have?
I don't know about the like.
Secrets of Nim.
No, we don't have Secret of Nim. Nope.
What's wrong with you?
We need to get it. We need to watch it for sure. All right, video game question for Dan. What are your thoughts on the Wii U? Do you think Nintendo should start making more mature franchises like Sony's God of War franchise, or should they stick with what they do best?
What they do best.
And while you've given a lot of attention to various big end properties, what do you think is your least favorite? Oh, that's harsh. Least favorite. I don't know. As far as the Wii U goes, I'm excited to check it out. What are you doing?
I'm going to look at some of these pictures.
Okay. I'm excited to check it out for sure. I'll most likely pre-order and buy it because that's just what I do with all the... I'm a Nintendo fanboy, so I always pre-order all their new systems. I think it looks neat, and it looks like that they're enhancing the graphics on it because they've got games coming out for it that are some more mature stuff, like Assassin's Creed and stuff like that, which they didn't have on the Wii before. So I think it's cool that it looks like they are doing something that's going to be for more mature audiences. But... Nintendo should stick with what they know, because they do a good job at it, and we've got PlayStation, and we've got Xbox for the other stuff, you know? Let everybody do their own thing. Everybody's good at doing it. Nintendo does a great job, and I love Nintendo's games,
Nintendo
you know?
Does Mario, and they
the
should
The Mario
never
games
stop.
Always rock, the Kirby games rock, the Zelda games rock. They don't need to be adult-oriented to be good, and I think they should just stick with what they know. I think that works fine. Do you disagree?
Whatever. I don't know. I don't hate those games. I just don't play them much anymore. There's not enough violence in them for me.
Sorry, what about Smash Brothers, dude? Smash Brothers.
Yeah, if they use guns and they chop each other's
heads off.
That'd be fine.
Alright, Manny Fan 1977 says, "Hey guys, I try to think of a question every week, though I did space out a couple of weeks. Transformers the movie from 1986 was the best. You can't beat Arena Rock. Though I do remember seeing Secret of the Sword in the theaters, I still have the free comic adaption from that day. What the heck are the decals on your laptop?"
Yeah!
I like how the question had nothing to do with the rest of the text. The decals are the official logos of PowerCon and ThunderCon. I got them from the convention when I was there. So it's...
Hey, more importantly, Secret of the Sword, was in the theaters?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, totally was in the theaters. Well, it was totally one of those things where, like, it's the first five episodes of She-Ra.
Yeah.
And after they had made it, they decided, no, we need this to be a movie, so put all those together, let's put it in the theater, and that's how that happened.
Did you see it in the theater?
I did.
Wow.
I did see it in the theater.
That seems weird to me. But
yep.
Whatever. I'll go with it.
Oh, here,
oh,
here is another long book. You guys and your books,
oh, no,
man.
No, 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 it's all Transformers stuff. See, it's a character
show. Oh, okay. So he says, it's from Grimmy. It says, "I wanted to start by weighing in on the BotCon 2012 sets. I'm not an expert on the Shattered Glass storyline, other than the obvious anti-verse theme used in many comics and TV series. Most of the figures in the set also homage characters from other parts of the Transformers history, though, so fans of the classic series have a lot to look forward to. I'll admit, I don't know much about a couple of the characters, though. I'm going to try to do this in the order of reveals. Gigatron. It's pretty much a classic version of Overlord from the Power Masters line in the late 80s, early 90s, though from what I understand, he was more well-known in Europe and Japan. Using the Hunt for the Decepticons bludgeon mold with a new head, Gigatron's alt mode is a tribute to the tank half of Overlord's two-vehicle alt mode. I really don't know anything about the character, but I do like his look. Trax. Evil Autobot Trax went back to his Diaclone roots. Most people into G1 Transformers have heard of Diaclone at some point, being the original toy line to use many G1 molds. In the Diaclone line, the Trax mold was used for a black Corvette and a red Corvette. E-Hobby later made a Trax repaint using that red paint job to create a female Autobot Road Rage. The paint job on the convention figure looks excellent, and I foresee Evil Trax being one of the top figures in the set. I also wouldn't be surprised if many Classics collectors use this figure as a Classics Road Rage. Boy, there's a lot of figures revealed in that set. Where are we at here? Okay, we're going on an hour and a half already. So, this is actually available on the Fan Corner thread. I'm not going to read through all these. I'm sorry, Grimmy. There's just a lot of information here, and we got some more questions to get through. So, if you guys are interested in more opinions on the BotCon exclusives, you can check that out in the Fan Corner episode 137 thread on the forums. So, let's move on to a question from Albatraz, who says, "Hey guys, here again with two questions. What articulation point do you think ruins sculpts the most? I would say the hips, because it's such a hard joint to have to move diagonal forward and side to side. Also, what one character would you want to have made completely exclusive to you, made by your favorite toy company, having the figure being life-size, completely lifelike sculpt and detail with points of articulation that made it move exactly like a human? And you can't see the joints at all. That sounds awfully creepy." Dude, I don't know about that.
I know exactly which one you would want.
What?
You'd want Mosquitor.
You think I want a life-size Mosquitor that has no joints and looks like a real human?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I want a Super Shredder.
Super Shredder.
I want a big old Super Shredder up in here. A
Kevin Nash.
Yep.
I want a gigantic Sebastian.
As for the articulation point that ruins sculpts, I think it depends. A lot of times the ab crunch does.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to say, the ab crunch. Yeah. All right, Sword to Blanket. That's so funny. What a great screen name. I just watched the episode of She-Ra where she did that the other day. Anyway, it says, "I'm new to the forums, but I've been tuning in since number 124 or so. Welcome to the boards. I love your screen name. I've thoroughly enjoyed each episode, and they always make my Wednesday drive home much more fun. First off, I just have to comment on something. Last episode, you guys assessed that Secret of the Sword was the best of the four mentioned 80s cartoon movies. To quote Cobra Commander, unsubstantiated fantasy, lies, lies, lies. Did Stan Bush sing The Touch when Adora became She-Ra? No. Case closed." That would have been amazing, though. "You got the touch for the honor of Grayskull. I absolutely love Secret of the Sword and rented it a kajillion times as a kid, but it is an objective truth, sirs, that Transformers the movie is the greatest anime movie of all time." All time!
Ooh. First of all, I do not like Secret of the Sword as a movie. I watched it once, and I never need to see it again.
I'm right there with you.
So,
I like Secret
of the
Sword.
Go ahead and deal with that.
I like Secret of the Sword. Alright, I've heard Dana, perhaps others, make comments indicating that they are getting and looking forward to the new Voltron line. I think the completed Voltron looks pretty sweet, but the lions themselves, meh. In my opinion, Voltron toys have always been designed with the forming Voltron first in mind, and the look of the lions a very distant second, which of course is understandable. Do you think we'll ever see a version of the toys that really do the lions themselves justice, even if it's meant that they can't form Voltron? That is a good question, because you're absolutely right. They always build those things in an effort to actually build a full Voltron. So the lions themselves are always, like, you know, they got smaller ones because their arms and bigger ones because their feet. So they don't always look the way they should. And I think that the new lines does a better job of making them look better, but they still, their sizes are all different and everything. I have no idea if anybody will ever do a line where that's just focuses on the lions themselves. That'd be neat. But with Mattel having the rights right now, I wouldn't really hold your breath for it anytime soon, honestly. I don't know. Question two for Dan and Stina. "I think it's pretty awesome that both of you collect toys. I haven't heard the story of how you two got together." Oh, well, now you've heard the story.
Yeah,
we just told the story. And for Lord Killen, "Hordak's pet imp versus Mumra's pet Mammut in a fight to the death. Who wins and why?"
Mammut. Because he is the key master.
Oh.
And he looks just like, you know. To me, he's one of the either the Keymaster or the Gatekeeper, right? Because isn't that just like the Ghostbuster dog?
Yeah! Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Obviously,
now.
Obviously, they have a little more sway in connected friends than Hordak's little pet imp. So that's what I'm saying. I'm going with the mama.
And then for Rick, why didn't you show up for work, Slacker?
Sick
burn.
Actually, he's been on work lately. He's
lately?
Not missed. He hasn't been sick lately. He hasn't been here because he's, you know, lazy. But he hasn't been, he's been on time in the store, and, I mean, relatively on time in the store. Let's not start rumors. He didn't make it on time. But he did show up mostly. So he's doing better.
Sweet. All right, Terry75 says, wanted to hear what everyone's thoughts were on the new Spy Monkey items. Mm. Have you guys seen those yet?
Mm-mm. Nope.
I'm very anxious to check them out in person. I'm excited for them because they use the Glios feature. So they are completely interchangeable. They can plug into your Glios toys. They can plug into your Outer Spaceman toys. I'm excited. So I can't wait to check them out.
And good job, Spy. Now on page and two.
I know. We are running kind of late. We are going to have to put a limit on your questions because you guys are out of control.
So ask them faster. Go.
All right, here we go. Abuda, I live in upstate New York, and I've heard you discuss the Toy Man Show in St. Louis. It sounds enticing. Do you think it's worth a trip out there?
No.
From New York?
No.
Absolutely not. It's a very small show, and I think if you come all the way from New York, you'll be very disappointed.
It's like a regional toy show.
It's cool for us because it's close, and it's neat to kind of take a trip to see what's there, but, I mean...
What if you went to the one that's in December right before Christmas?
Maybe. Look, if you're going to make a trip for a show, you make a trip for Kane County in the Chicago area. Because that is huge, and there's always a ton of cool stuff there. That's the one you should look into. It's Kane County Fairgrounds. Just Google it, you should be able to find it. That one might be worth your drive. Toy Man is not worth your drive.
No.
Not from New York. Nasty Will says, did anybody get a toy or game that you really wanted, and after you got it, it sucked big time?
All the time.
Yeah. What was it? It was that.
So often I can't even think of one in particular.
8-inch Lion-O. San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. Next question. Mm. Super wanted that figure, and man, was I disappointed. You got anything for that one?
That Daffy Duck DS game.
Oh, yeah!
That was super disappointing.
What was that one called?
I don't even know.
It was the one where you're supposed to annoy Daffy Duck, like in that episode of the cartoon. What was the name of it?
I have no idea.
You remember that old episode of Looney Tunes where, like, there's an artist that keeps repainting things on Daffy Duck, and then at the end it turns out to be Bugs Bunny? They made a DS game where you're the artist messing with Daffy Duck, and it was such a cool concept for a game, so we bought it, and then the game was absolute garbage. It was terrible.
Like, you couldn't even do
it? Like, it didn't do hardly anything. It wasn't nearly as cool as we thought it was going to be. It was like...
They don't have the technology.
I guess not.
It's too early.
Horrible.
It's ahead of its time.
All right, Cavalier, this is primarily for Dan, but I welcome any input from everyone there. I just watched Dan's review of The Sorceress and The Star Sisters, and in listening to the problems and complaints Dan aired, I wonder if these quality issues are something that's common with the Masters line or any other lines they produce, like DC Classics, Infinite Heroes, or the JLU lines, or are these problems with Masters only? That has me wondering if these problems, plus the subscription issues you guys talked about last week, will force fans of these lines to drop subscriptions and almost boycott Matty Collector. Also, are there quality issues and subscription problems something anyone has encountered with other companies and lines? I came across a similar issue with Transformers Rescue Bots Bumblebee and the Minicopter with the way it fits into his hands, which I talked about in my review. Quality issues with Masters varies. Sometimes the figures are perfect and they're great, and other times they do have flaws. I wouldn't necessarily say the Sorceress is a quality issue, it's just a design flaw. The wings just weren't designed good. They should have been designed better. It has nothing to do with the quality control. However, the Star Sisters, my particular Star Sisters, had some bad quality control issues. Now, everybody else who got them for review, they were in perfect shape. So maybe I just got an unlucky set, and when people get them from their orders, they'll be fine, no issues there. But there have been quality control issues with, like, weak ankles, bobbleheads. That's been kind of the common complaint for the line. And the fact is, I mean, it's not just in Masters. There's been quality control issues in DC Universe Classics and other toy lines, and other companies have issues like that, too. That is not something that's only found in Masters of the Universe.
I say they mostly get it right, but you expect more from this line.
That's the problem is, it's an online exclusive that we're paying $30 a figure for, so when there is an issue, it's a way bigger deal. Because you do expect more. It's a high-end collectible that we're paying premium dollar for. We should be getting perfect figures. I mean, that's all there is to it. I understand mistakes happen, but when it's continuous, reverse shoulders over and over again, you start going, what the heck, Mattel? And I do think that that will weigh in. Honestly, I don't think the QC issues, because they're not... QC issues are a problem, but they're not always a problem. The crap with the subscription stuff right now, that's going to deter people away from subscriptions
Digital
more
River
than... Yeah.
Destroys more.
Digital River is more the problem than Mattel's QC is, in my opinion.
Yep.
CXB452. Okay, I posted this question a few weeks back, but unfortunately Dirt did not answer it because I asked it for Dan and he wasn't there. Okay. So he goes on to say, Scott Nylick seems to be a very nice guy. I say seems because I don't know him personally, and I've only met him briefly at New York Comic Con. The videos I've watched from the Matty Palooza panel always paint him as very honest, forthcoming, and approachable. He also has passion for He-Man and other boys' action figure brands from Mattel. You have a very unique point of view when it comes to He-Man. I know of no other organization, website, or business that has been so close to Masters of the Universe since its inception. You have received product samples of nearly every figure and have enjoyed a very close relationship with Scott and Mattel. You are also incredibly passionate when it comes to He-Man, but you do not let your emotions or memories sway your judgment when you're reviewing the product. That being said, do you feel that Masters of the Universe Classics is being run the right way? I mean, no disrespect to Scott, but is he doing the best job possible right now? He is brand manager and therefore responsible for the brand in every way. Do the delays in shipping indicate he is not in complete control? I know he can't be at the manufacturer in California and be communicating with the horseman in New Jersey, but he is responsible for final product and the overall way the brand is handled. Is he doing a better job than everyone thinks, or should Mattel be looking for a new brand manager? That is a tough question. That is rough.
Question.
It does feel like a loaded question, I'll be honest. I do feel that Scott is very passionate about what he does. There's no denying that. He loves He-Man. He loves Green Lantern. He loves DC. He's very passionate about the job that he's working in. And I do think that he does a good job most of the time on a lot of the stuff that he does. He is the brand manager, so he is the face of Matty Collector. Therefore, he is going to take the brunt of all of the negative stuff, and that is his job. His job is to be the guy that takes that stuff. He should be taking all of the negative stuff and taking that back to whoever he needs to take it to and trying to get things fixed. That's his job. I don't think that, you know, I don't want to just say, yeah, give that to somebody else. I don't feel like we should just be stripping the job away from Scott or anything like that, because I think Scott does do a good job with what he's done. Yes, there is room for improvement. There's no doubt about that. There's been a lot of issues lately. There's a lot of things that Scott should look into fixing and should get corrected. So,
or just own up to.
And I mean that's pretty much it. Yeah, I think we can just leave it at that. That's really all there is to say about that.
Well, a lot of his things isn't even his fault. Digital River isn't his fault.
That's Digital River may not be his fault, but he should be. Mattel should be doing something about Digital River.
I want him to say, yeah, it is. Looking back, is probably not the best choice.
Yeah, they need to fix that.
But
I think
we're stuck, and we're gonna have to make the best.
So what, they were probably like the cheapest.
That's exactly. I guarantee that's exactly it. They were the cheapest company, so that's what they went with.
Which, what company really wouldn't?
That's
do
business.
That?
That's business, right?
That's the suits at Mattel, not.
Yep.
Not Scott.
Yeah, exactly. All right, GB Zaku says, my first question's for Killen. What did you think of the Lego set, The Black Pearl? If you busted it open, of course.
I haven't opened it yet. I do have it, and I got it for Christmas, and it was when I first saw it. I was like, yeah, I'm buying that for sure. I'm getting that no matter
Sweet.
What. So love it.
Second question is a Power Ranger question for Scott, and he's not here, so repost it for next week, and maybe he'll be here for that.
He said he would be.
Okay, Cavalier, you already asked a question, so I'm skipping your second one.
Ooh.
Sorry, bro.
All right,
One Nerd.
Post it next time.
Says, I'm new to the forum. Welcome to the boards.
Welcome.
Says, I wanted to start off by saying that you guys do great work, your podcasts and your videos. Keep up the good work. Goes on to say, if there is one thing I love in this world of nerdity that we all inhabit, it's the art of the crossover from Power Rangers versus Ninja Turtles, Super Robot Wars and DC versus Mortal Kombat, to even Freddy versus Jason. I've always loved a good crossover storyline of two or more great nerdy properties, but besides Masters of the Universe versus DC, I can't think of many good toy line crossovers. So I ask you, if you can combine two toy lines together for one epic battle, which would you choose? I, for one, would do WWE and Kinnikuman, a.k.a. Muscle, in either 6-inch or a 2-inch line. That'd be kind of cool. Crossover lines. Gosh. That is so rough. Tough question. What about, like, I always thought, I mean, we've talked about this before, but seeing Mask in the G.I. Joe line would be awesome. Mm-hmm. That'd be a great crossover and a great way to bring Mask back because of the whole Matt Tracker thing that they already did. Yeah, you just don't really see a lot of the crossover stuff in toys. Mostly because all these different companies own all these different properties and they don't always come together, you know?
They're stingy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Man, that's tough. That's a hard question. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to say right there. Boom. All right, D'Evil, I'm wondering what your third most favorite toy line from the 80s is. I know that sounds random, but we all know what your favorites are, so I'm wondering which one still has a place in your heart. So third favorite.
From like when we were a kid?
From the 80s.
You don't remember?
Well, I guess that's your answer then. Mine is not Ninja Turtles. Mine's Ghostbusters. One would be Masters, two would be Ninja Turtles, three would be Ghostbusters. Kenner Ghostbusters.
I'd say GoBots, my third.
Oh, be your third?
It was a good third because just what I had, and I loved them.
I don't remember a lot of what I played with when I was in the 80s.
Looking back, they were terrible, but I still love them.
I was outside.
You're outside. You didn't play with toys. I play with sports. Yeah, sports.
I play toys. Toys play with me. Next question.
Falcon Hood. On Princess of Power, do you prefer the hair to be rooted, like the vintage, or molded, like classics?
Molded.
Molded.
Hair for really? I don't.
You don't. Damn, you don't care.
I just saw. You know what? I was looking at one of my daughter's toys last night. I was looking at the rooted hairs. I was like, I guess I never really looked at a figure to look at the rooted hair, but I'm like, this looks horrific.
They get tangled and messy, and
they don't ever stay the same.
I would prefer if it's an action figure. I would prefer it to have sculpted hair. I just think it looks better, honestly.
Yeah, and you don't have to.
It's my opinion. You don't have to brush it.
And that's a girl's job.
That wasn't my girl's job because my hair is like everywhere in all my toys.
Alright, the Burger General, another new member of the forum. So
welcome!
This is question number one is for Pixel Dan. I'm a huge fan of the Food Fighters. I think it's great that you share my enthusiasm for this toy line. I know your favorite is Fat Frenchie. Mine is Short Stack. My question is, if you could choose just one more food item from Mattel to launch a new figure of, what would it be? A new food item to become
a
character?
Shoe.
A horseshoe?
And
everyone's like, what's a horseshoe? That'd be a crazy
It'd just be a big mess of a guy.
I think we need eggs to go inside the egg carton vehicle. Ooh. I just thought it was funny.
Egg troopers?
I talked about that. Yeah, like egg troopers that would be like stormtroopers. I thought that'd be awesome. Get like an army of eggs to go inside of the combat carton. I think that'd be awesome.
Oh, I'm glad you're talking about Foo Fighters. Right now, if you go to Sonic and get the kids' meal, you get like a milkshake figure with arms and legs in it with eyes. That looks like it could have been a Foo Fighters.
I'm going to go to the Sonic.
And there's like, I don't know, 15 to collect.
I'm going to go to Sonic. That's amazing. It says, do you know anywhere online that you can get protective clamshell cases for Mint on Card Food Fighters? The packaging is so easily damaged. Mm. I don't.
Will they fit in those ones?
Check ZolaWorld.com. They have a lot of different sizes of clamshell cases. They might have something that'll fit Food Fighters, but I'm not entirely sure. But that's my best recommendation. Those guys are awesome. Question two is for Killen. I've currently been stashing away boxed Legos for the purpose of increasing the future value. Look what you did.
It's a good idea.
Some sets I've bought 3 to 4 copies of. My question is, out of the Lego minifigures series 5 and 6, which do you see increasing in value the most?
6. 5 is still available. Oh, no, it stopped being available. 6 sold out in 3 hours.
Really?
I didn't even get a set. I had to go on eBay and buy a set because I couldn't get cases for a store. They put them on pre-order, and they sold out within 3 hours, and Lego says, we're not making any more, and there's a particular piece in that set that is never going to be recreated again, and I'm not sure what it is yet, because I'm waiting for my set to come.
Right.
But Series 6 is by far the most valuable for some reason.
It's probably that piece.
It sold out quicker than Series 1, so it's a must-have.
So then he also says, same question for the new superheroes line. I'd love to hear your thoughts on which sets would be worth picking up and hoarding, or if it's even a good idea at all, since they've already had an entire line of Batman Legos.
Try the Lex Luthor set with the, because that's Wonder Woman, Superman, Lex Luthor, That's definitely going to be a good set, and I don't.
Because it's got three minifigures that are popular.
That were never
characters.
Done before.
Yeah.
So those are first time figures. The Batcave is always going to be popular, and the chase set with the Batmobile and the two-faced tow truck, that is going to be a good set to keep for value.
Sweet. Okay. I remember Manglore says, "Hey guys and girl, first of all, I'm glad that Stina is a permanent fixture. I was happy that people wrote in to say so. I enjoyed the Disney movie discussion. Anyhow, here's a question for you all. Do you remember Popoids? Yes, I know that sounds like a medical condition. This was a wonderful toy line. As far as I know, it's still around. Also, have you ever seen Eggzilla? It was this dinosaur that was on a base with a timer, and you had to build the egg around him like a jigsaw before the little guy jumped. It was great fun."
Sounds fun.
It does sound fun. I don't remember that, and I don't remember Popoids. So now I need to Google that and look it up. You remember Popoids?
No.
Something
sounds
to look
like,
into.
Sounds like one of those little ones that you turn and they just hop everywhere.
I'll have to look it up. I don't remember them. All right, Smuggler. I'm new to the forum. Welcome. I am by no means new to the Pop Culture Network. I've been a YouTube subscriber for a few months. Last episode of It Figures convinced me to join so I could be in on the discussion. It's funny that you guys should mention the Gargoyles cartoon and its toys, because I actually stumbled upon two of the same figure from the original Gargoyles line here in London at TK Maxx, which is the UK version of TJ Maxx. I didn't really have any interest in it because it appeared to be just a random gargoyle and not a main character. Either way, it was the craziest find I have ever found, especially when you consider that there's not much that I'm interested in UK's retail stores. So my question is, what's the craziest, most random toy find you've experienced? The least you expected to stumble across it, the better.
Chinatown was a good one.
Oh, yeah, when I just randomly found some carded GoBots pencil sharpeners from 1985.
And we found Scotty's knockoff Power Rangers that we were just talking about from New York.
Yeah.
And they were randomly in
the GoBots thing, yeah, that was super random. Because how, you just walk into, like, yeah, regular stores, modern day, in Chicago, and you're just like, so here's some carded GoBots things from 1985 just hanging on the pegs.
It looks like they just took out of a case.
Yeah, it looks like they just came out of a case. Yeah, I was super happy about it. Even though they were just pencil sharpeners, I was like, yep, buying these. These are amazing.
I was doing a Walmart run when I went out of state. I was stopping at all the Walmarts checking for DC Classics, and I remember finding, this is late in the line, like, this must have been a wave 16, 15, and then all of a sudden I found a Harley Quinn randomly. I was like, oh.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Someone must have returned it or something.
Yeah, like, it's totally way
that's from wave two.
So I was like, Quinn. Oh, bought that, and then eBay you go.
All right, Motu Guru says, hey guys, couple of things. First off, will any of you, Pixel Dan, be doing any reviews of the new Marvel Legends? They're starting to hit stores overseas and should be here in a couple weeks. There's already reviews going up from the Philippines. I've thought about it. It depends. I haven't decided if I'm going to invest in Marvel Legends yet or not, just because I already did it one time and I got rid of most of them, and I don't know if I want to start that back up again. But, like we talked about last week, I really like the look of a lot of the movie figures that are out now. So if the actual ones look as good, I might pick some up. We'll see how it goes.
I pre-ordered some for the store. So we'll see.
If I buy them, I'll probably review them, but we'll see how it goes. A couple episodes back, you made mention of articulated comic book art, which was something that somebody had asked us about. You didn't seem to be too savvy on the subject and thought you might like to know. Your podcast and that particular segment of that episode was mentioned and shown on another YouTube channel. I was curious if you ever got a chance to check it out. Here's some links for you. All right, so we talked about this. Somebody had asked us if we had ever thought about doing articulated comic book art, and we were all kind of like, we don't know what that is. But it is kind of like what I thought it was.
I was totally wrong.
Taking pictures of the figures and the different scenes and stuff like that. There is an actual YouTube channel dedicated to it, which I will plug, youtube.com/ACBA community. It was funny because I was browsing on that channel last night looking at some of the stuff, and lo and behold, I came across the video where he's like, somebody let me know about Pixel Dan talking about me on a show. And he plays that part of the podcast where we're all like, yeah, we don't know what this is. And so we look like total jerks on his show. So we apologize for looking like jerks and not knowing about your show and your channel. But we'll give you a plug to make it up for you. So there you go. youtube.com/ACBA community. You guys can check it out.
I still don't get it, but whatever. Yeah.
All right, last one is from Ryordan. It's for Killen. It says, I have Masters of the Universe Classic Scareglow that I'd like to get graded. What is the best way to get it graded by the AFA? It is confusing with the submission form and the tier options.
Okay, the best option is to go to a convention where AFA will be set up, because there you can go and actually talk to one of the graders, and you can save on shipping the figure to them, and you make sure you get it in the exact condition that you hand it to them. They will box it and ship it back to you and everything. That is the best way, the cheapest way. And then you can ask all the random questions, because their forms are very confusing. Otherwise, you're going to have to go to toygrader.com, download their PDF forms, and just fill them out as best you can, ship them in, and then about 2 months later, you're going to get it back. So
2 months.
Yeah, it does take forever.
Yeah, unless you want to pay for the higher, quicker service back. But my suggestion is to just wait it out, because the savings is tremendous. So go the long route, or best case scenario, go catch them at the convention if you can catch them at, you know, New York Comic Con, San Diego. I'm sure C2E2 that might be there. Those are the best ways.
Sweet. Well, there you go. All right, that wraps up the Fan Corner, finally. We went almost 2 hours today, so I think we're going to start limiting you guys on your questions, because you're asking like 1,000 a piece, and it's hard to get through everybody's stuff. If space out your questions, you'll have more stuff to ask us for future episodes. Think of it that way. Think of it that way. All right, guys, so that's going to wrap up this week's episode. So, as always, make sure you're visiting popculturenetwork.com on a daily basis for lots of original content every single day. We've got videos and podcasts about everything from video games to comic books to toys. All the things you love are right there. While you're there, you can sign up for the forums. You got your own question to ask us, head over to the It Figures forum. Post your questions in the Fan Corner thread. And don't forget to visit shoppcn.com, which is the official store of the Pop Culture Network. Anything in specific you want to plug this week?
Yes, in a couple days, we will have a lot of the new waves of Lego figures in the store. They're not even in the stores yet, but we'll have them here in our store. This includes all the new Star Wars stuff, some of the new city things, and I can't even remember. Anyways, we're going to have all the new Lego stuff that's not even in the stores yet. Some Toys R Us may have them, because they always get their stuff a little bit early, but we'll have those, and then we'll also have the Walking Dead TV series figures finally in stock, and from what I understand, those are sold out, so not to be reproduced or not reshipping, they're sold out, AMC's, you know, out, so we'll have a couple cases of those available probably by Friday, so look for all that stuff.
Sweet. Awesome. As always, guys, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, at PopCultureNeck. Neck? Weird. Wow. Don't follow that. That is not us. At PopCultureNet. And you can subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/PopCultureNetwork. So that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the It Figures Podcast. So until next Wednesday, I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Steven.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.